Hello and welcome back as we continue our look at the Christian faith. Today we're going to continue with where do we go from here? How do we live? We welcome back Pastor Chris Berg.
And the book of Romans goes into great detail about what it means to be saved. And it starts with a term, total depravity, and in that Gentiles, they're guilty because they violate their own standard of right and wrong. And Paul writes to the Jewish people that they're not righteous because they have the law of God and nobody has ever kept it to the standard that God expects. So it shows guilt, and then it gives the reason for how do we get saved through faith in Christ alone. And it answers all those questions. And then you get to chapter 12 of Romans, and it says, I appeal to you, therefore, and the therefore being everything that was written beforehand, everything about our sin, about Christ as the sacrifice for sin, having died for us, God's righteous demands being satisfied. When I get saved, when I trust Christ as my Savior, what do I do? Now what? And what Romans 12 says is, now use your body as a living sacrifice. Present your bodies as a living sacrifice. Now, what does that mean? We'll get into that, and I think that's a lifelong journey to think about and continue on, but it's now present yourself as a living sacrifice.
It's an old saying, but it's important to remember. Anytime we see the word therefore, we need to know what it's there for.
When we say total depravity, that doesn't mean we were as bad as we could be, because I think we can look at the world and say there's a whole level of evil. But what it is saying is that every part of every person has been affected by sin.
Yeah.
And therefore, every single one of us are in desperate need of a Savior, and there's nothing we could do on our own. And so when we recognize that and we trust Christ as our Savior and put our faith in Him, Romans 12:1 says, now what you need to do, where do you go from here, is you need to continually present yourself as a living sacrifice. You know what the problem with living sacrifices are?
What?
They keep crawling off the altar.
I'm an expert at that.
Yeah, me too. I think all of us are.
Yeah.
Which is why this isn't a one-time thing. There, good, I've done that. We talked about checklists before. Good, I've offered myself as a living sacrifice. Let me check that off. I never have to worry about that again. It's a continual process. It's a moment by moment. Not even, I was going to say day by day. No, day by day is too much time in between. Huh. It is a moment by moment effort to continually offering yourself as a living sacrifice. It goes on to say that this living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship.
Yes, just to share my own personal experience with how that works in my life. It's not that you're going to use my words or that I should use your words, but what he says is to present or offer ourselves. So what I try to do is, and I don't do it all the time by any means, but I try to daily and multiple times a day when I realize I've crawled off the altar, so to speak, again, is to just say, God, I need you and you don't need me. You are God and I am not. You are holy. I give myself away to you again, like I did 2 hours ago before I started doing things my way. God, I come to you and just say, here I am, God. Lead me and help me to stay close to you, looking to you and trusting you with all of my heart.
Yeah, it's, and it says that doing that is worship. A lot of Christians have wrongly come to the conclusion that worship is that thing that occurs before the sermon and maybe a song after the sermon with the music playing and the congregation singing. And that is my worship. When you go through Romans 12, you're not going to see music. It's saying the act of worship that God finds acceptable is the worship of offering ourselves to God for His purpose, for His reasons, for His glory.
Yeah. And Jesus, wouldn't this be an exact way of saying that differently when Jesus said, and I don't have the reference in front of me said, if you love me, you will obey me.
Yes. Yeah. And so that's what we want to do, is we want to continually obey God and God's word.
Yeah. Trust and obey.
Yeah. And what gets in the way of that? The answer is in verse 2, it says, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed. What is conformity?
I was immediately thinking about a piece of clay that if you can take it in your hands and mold it into whatever shape you want, and the world wants us to look like the world, which is the opposite of looking like Christ. And so if we submit ourselves to the molding of the world, we're going to be on the wrong path. And instead, we want to be molded by God. And that happens through his word, through prayer, through fellowship with other Christians, through humbly recognizing he's God, we're not, and just dying to ourselves daily.
I think that is a great answer, a biblical answer. The way I've express this, especially when I talk to teens about this, but it works for everybody, is what it says. When it says, do not be conformed to this world, what it's saying is don't be a chicken nugget. Let me explain. When I was watching a video on how McDonald's makes their chicken nuggets, and it wasn't a hit piece. It was produced by McDonald's, but it was still enough to gross me out. They get the chicken and they remove the skin from it, and then they break it down and they add fat. So a lot of times they add the skin back. And basically what they do is they make a chicken paste. Doesn't that sound delicious?
That's so exciting.
Yeah.
And they gross.
They get this chicken paste and they have four different molds shapes that your chicken nugget will always be. And it's just four. And they pour this chicken paste into the mold. And then they cook it to a certain extent before they bread it, and then it gets finished cooking at each individual McDonald's. But that's the idea of that chicken paste, is going to fill the mold that's been predetermined. The world has a mold, that a pattern that we are pressured to fit into. And if we're chicken paste, we'll fill that mold and we'll all look the same. The Bible says, don't be conformed to this world. Don't fit the pattern of this world. Don't be a chicken nugget. Don't be chicken paste and fill it in. There's so much better when it says, do not be conformed to this world, but instead be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. That word transformed is different than conformed. Transformed has the idea of metamorphosis, like
change.
A caterpillar into a butterfly. And isn't that much better than being chicken paste?
That sounds so much better than chicken paste. I want to take just a minute and go a little off topic, but not. And that is in regard to what you were saying about the chicken paste and how it's molded, and how the world wants you to look like it, so to speak. And as you were speaking, I couldn't help but think of how we as adults are subject to this, but the younger we encounter people, the more and more susceptible they are to the advertising industry's effort to say, you don't need to be, you need to be like this perfect person. There is no such thing, but this woman that looks like this, or smells like this, or her hair looks like this, or this man that looks this way or that way. And God doesn't make defective products, and you and I and all of us were created by God for God. And he tells us that he has made us fearfully and wonderfully in Psalm 139. And so I want myself and you to hear, and others to hear, hey, don't let this world sell us this bill of goods that we need to wear a certain clothes, or we need to drive a certain car, or we need to look a certain way or be a certain size. We need to be good caretakers of who God created us to be, and do that with diligence to take care of what he's given us, but use it for him and not for what the world is trying to sell us.
That's right. Yeah. And the world is always changing what its standards are, but what is always consistent is it's going to be different than what God wants. And it's not that we don't need to change. We do need to change. But the way we change isn't through conformity. Sometimes Christians, churches, they see the do not be conformed to this world, but they act like then what they're going to do is, but you need to be conformed to the Christian standards. And it's not conformity, because conformity is by my might. Transformation is done through the power of God.
Amen.
And we have to make sure your hair is this long, and you have to, ladies need to wear this skirt. And we go through this legalistic, here's how you're, if you do these things, you will please God. That's by our might. That's a standard of our own. Transformation, said it just a minute, but it needs to be said again. Transformation is done through the power of Christ.
Amen.
And here it says, by the renewing of your mind. We need a mind renewal. I call it stinking thinking. And the world has plenty of philosophy that is stinking thinking. And we need to have our mind renewed by the word of God. We need the thoughts of God. Our job is to think God's thoughts after him. If God thinks this, then I need to think this. And we can't do that any other way than reading his word, meditating on it, and applying it as we grow. We got to renew our mind. And when we renew our mind, the promise, well, seems like a promise to me, but it's probably not quite necessarily a promise, but I read it as a promise. When you do that, that by testing you may discern what God's will is. Because that's really the question is, and I've been frustrated with this in times, God, what do you want me to do? A lot of times, I'll take a job. Just tell me what you want me to do with my life. Tell me what job to have. I'll live where you want me to live. I'll go where you want me to go. Just tell me and I'll do what you want me to do. If God, if you would just tell me what it is, I'm willing. I just don't know what it is. And I struggled with that a few years ago. It wasn't that I wanted to do my own thing. I honestly wanted to do God's thing. I just didn't know what it was. And then I had a thought, maybe God was less concerned about what I do and more concerned about who I am. Who does God want me to be more than what profession does he want me to have? What house does he want me to buy? God's more concerned about, this is who I want you to be, and I want you to be transformed into a new creature whose mind is thinking my thoughts as I would read God's word. And then God's will in those other areas and God's timing became known to me, but it never would have happened if I had tried to conform myself to Christ rather than being transformed by Christ.
Yeah. I think that there's so many thoughts flowing through my mind that I would love to discuss, but I think that's probably a great place for us to pause until our next time to come together next week, we hope. So we'll just stop there with the clear thought that the answer to how then shall we live has to begin with, for a saved person, a person who has been born again by putting their trust, their faith in the finished work of Jesus, who is received by us as a gift from God that we receive through faith, is to then give ourselves to God, to say, here I am, Lord, I offer myself as you instruct me to be a living person for you, not to die for you, although that could be required, but to live for you, to die to myself, to make your will my guiding mark, not my will. And your will is for me to give myself to you. Lord, we give ourselves away. Now help us to not take it back. And when we do, give it away, give ourselves away again. So thank you, Pastor Chris, and thank you all for listening. And God willing, we will come together again. God bless you.